The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub. On the other side, before we jump back into the conversation, folks, I want to let you know about a special opportunity today. Dively Equipment on Parker Road here in Ann Arbor will be hosting NASCAR driver Ty Dillon of the number 42 car for Petty GMS, sponsored by Ferris Power Equipment and Vanguard Engines, at their location right here in Ann Arbor today. You can grab an autograph from Ty Dillon from 1 to 2 p.m. Again, 1 to 2 p.m. at Dively Equipment on Parker Road here in Ann Arbor. You can take a tour of the Vanguard Engines hauler and enjoy free shaved ice, giveaways, and more. Dively Equipment is a proud carrier of Ferris Power Equipment. We'll have units on display. This is an event you don't want to miss. Again, Ty Dillon, NASCAR driver, number 42 car at Dively Equipment on Parker Road today between 1 and 2 p.m. So get on over there and don't miss it. Yesterday, so the national sports headline all around here, we were focusing a lot on the Mel Pearson and Wilmer Hill report at all. Nationally, it was, or is, the Brittany Griner verdict or sentencing. And so 9 years. And here's the irony of that coming out, because it's obviously it's absurd for some cannabis oil. By our measure, this is using, we don't even need to compare legal systems. Her attorney seemed to express some surprise, but the published reports had this the sentencing as a formality, that she was going to get 9 or 10 years. That doesn't come as a surprise. And the irony of it is that this may actually move things forward, may actually bring things closer to resolution as far as a swap or a trade is concerned. Now, the part that you cannot account for is that you just aren't dealing with a good faith opponent or a good faith person or entity that you're negotiating with on the other side. If you were negotiating in good faith, then what the United States has already offered would be good enough. They've wanted the Merchant of Death, or whatever the nickname is for Victor Boot, the reputed arms and drug dealer, that I suppose could be reenlisted into Vladimir Putin's, whatever he wants Victor Boot for, he could use him for that again. Now, would he be as effective as he was 10 years ago? Probably not. I read a report that interviewed the foremost expert on Victor Boot, the guy who they consulted when they did the movie about him. He said, look, this international chain, or these relationships that allowed him to facilitate these major arms deals that ultimately killed thousands of people, that those countries and those leaders have found other sources. He's out of the network. He hasn't been around for so long that he probably wouldn't be effective in doing some of the things that he did to get him locked up and make him an international criminal. Still, there's a punishment aspect of this that you would like for him to serve. But at the end of the day, you got to give up someone to get someone. Problem is that the Russian government could understand that there is extreme pressure on the United States government. I think that this obviously is in part a reaction to the conflict with Ukraine, which they call this a proxy war for the United States. That is all this the propaganda that goes out. It lends itself to them dragging this out, playing hardball for much longer than is to our liking. I think that as we go on, that the asks will continue to be more and more absurd. Like, because the latest one we went beyond saying no to Victor Boot. They went and asked the United States for a prisoner that isn't even in a United States prison. So they went to the United States to go to Germany and ask for them to release a prisoner to throw into this deal. I think it's going to get more absurd. Thankfully, though, and I hate to use that word, but thankfully, though, the verdict piece of it is done. So now you can, if they've been pointing to the verdict being one of the holdups, that you had to get through the trial before you could really get serious about making a swap. Well, okay, well, now that's behind you. And if they're going to ask for something else, you figure it's going to come sooner rather than later, right? So again, the part you can't account for is you are dealing with a good faith dealer. And that's why you gotta be leery of, you know, being totally confident that they're going to come to the table now and be more serious about getting something done, because the unfortunate piece of this is she's a political pawn for them. And, you know, it may not be about getting a prisoner back in return. That's the part that you don't want to contemplate. You don't want to think about that. You know, maybe they, you know, for them, it's more about just having her, and that's more beneficial than anyone they could get back in return. But, you know, right now, if you just meet their demands, then it puts that to the test. And I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. I think you might have to consult an ally to release a prisoner. It seems absurd. In the United States, I think the posture that they're taking is beneficial in that way, to make it seem like this is impossible. Then if once you do it, then maybe that'll make a move. We'll see. But you saw a lot of the reactions yesterday. The thing that stuck out to me is it seemed like Brittany Griner, for as daunting as this was, it seemed like she was expecting it. And for as much as you can tell from video and the outtakes from the courtroom, seemed like she was expecting it. So now hopefully this moves things along, and not just for her, but for Paul Whelan. You know, there was another story about, there's another American woman who, she's imprisoned right now in Russia for protecting herself against domestic violence. Believe it or not, her boyfriend actually wrote a letter in support of her, saying he was drunk, he was being abusive, she pulled the knife and swung it at him to protect herself. I guess cut him on the nose, but said she wasn't trying to kill me, she was trying to protect herself. And yet here she is behind bars. So you know, hopefully all of this attention that has been brought to American detainees will help bring a swifter resolution to their detainment for all of them, not just Brittany Griner, but certainly Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan, and for others that we are learning more about as a result of her and their detention. So that was a big headline yesterday for the 9 years. But you know, I don't think that it's one of those things that was unexpected. I mean, it doesn't make it any easier. The part that I think you can take solace in, or try to, is that it looks like that this can help move things further along. That's the hope anyway. So tough topics, Mr. Weintraub, to start the morning.
Tough topics. Yeah, those were pretty tough topics. I'm going to lighten the mood for you.
Sure.
I'm going to lighten the mood for you. So yesterday I was reading some stuff about college basketball. Did you see this thing about Kentucky and Gonzaga?
Yeah, they're scheduling a little series. Yeah, I saw that.
So people were like, this would be sweet. Home and home at Gonzaga, at Rupp. This is going to be amazing. Well, did you see where the game's going to be out in Washington? Not at Gonzaga. Calipari won't let them play there. This is his tweet from yesterday, Sam. He tweets these, three tweets. I'm excited about playing Gonzaga. I'm disappointed that we have to go there first, but to make it happen, I was willing to do that. Playing in front of 13,000 crazy fans in Spokane Arena will be exciting, just like it will be in front of 22,000 fans in Rupp next year. I imagine there will be some Big Blue Nation and some Gonzaga fans, too, who will sneak in that game this year because there's more seats. Anybody that wants us to play in a 6,000-seat facility wants us to lose. And I get that. I tried to look back and find the last time UK played in a true regular season road game with 6,000 or fewer fans. I stopped looking after the 1970s. He won't play a home and home because he won't play in their freaking gym, Sam. He canceled the game here, right? I won't play there. I don't like my He's complaining that he's got to go to Gonzaga first in the home and home, and he's not even going to Gonzaga. He's playing in the, now it says in Spokane, but he won't go to their gym. Are you kidding me, Sam?
I mean, if you're Mark Few, you could say no.
He can't because Gonzaga needs the home and homes. He needs, and for them, they're going to have to accept the Spokane Arena being a home venue for some of those teams if they want those games at all. But it's nonsense because it should be at their arena.
It should be. You can say no.
Right, but then you don't
say you don't have to play.
Right, but then you don't get the home and home, and they're having
assuming you win the game. You know, all the questions that they ask you or that the criticism you get about your schedule, right? You beat Kentucky. And non-conference, it renders moot anything they say about the rest of the regular season, where they talk about, oh man, you know, who does Gonzaga play in conference? You know, they don't really get tested. I mean, yeah, that's a moot point. You play and you beat Kentucky, so I get why you don't say no, but on principle, if we're gonna come to your gym, you come to ours, or we don't play. But that. To Mark Few's credit, he said, okay, you know what? We'll play you. We'll play you at close to a more neutral venue. You know, it's still a home city, but not our home venue. So I guess we won't make perfect be the enemy of the good. But that's more of a reason to smack him.
I'm with you on that.
To get more butts in the seat.
It's a motivation to. And the Spokane Arena could decide how they sell the tickets, right? They could, like, sell four packs to only Gonzaga season ticket holders or whatever.
Does he think they're going to get a bunch of Kentucky people to make that trip?
I'm sure he thinks Kentucky fans will travel. The Kentucky fans are in Seattle or whatever. But I love that he used three tweets yesterday morning. He used three tweets. There was a string of three tweets basically to say, we refuse to play. He admitted, we can't play there. We can't play in a small environment. We can't handle that environment. Like,
does he think that the crowd will be tougher to handle in a 6,000 seat gym? Because, I mean, you put that game in a bigger arena, you just get more Gonzaga fans. It would seem to me. But does he think the acoustics and the layout?
I think he thinks the size. He's used to the bigger building and, you know, to be in the big arena versus. I don't know why.
Less intimidating. You're gonna have more Gonzaga fans.
I think honestly, Sam, more than anything else, I think it's just this is a way for him to give an excuse because Cal wants to control as much as he can. I can't believe he put this much out there, this much wine in public. It's amazing that he actually admitted this much in public. We don't play road games in venues that size. Okay, you do now. Like, why not?
I mean, it strikes to me more. Vanity. Like, we're Kentucky. We deserve to be on a certain platform because it doesn't make sense to go from a smaller venue in the same city to a bigger. I mean, you're just gonna get more Gonzaga fans, right? Is that in what world? Is that environment less intimidating unless you just think, like I said, that the acoustics, the intimacy of their home arena is just by a huge margin more intimidating. I don't get it. Seems much ado about nothing to me as far as the, you know, how intimidating the environment is, more the we don't play in venues that small. It seems more like a Kentucky vanity thing to me. It's an entitlement thing that we only play in arenas of 12,000 people or more, or 13,000, I guess you said. We only play in arenas that size because we're Kentucky. But it didn't seem to be more of a level feel, if you want to call it that, because it's still a road game and a road game with more Gonzaga fans.
Yeah, I It was really, you know, maybe he feels like it's the Autzen thing, right? You know, you've been to Autzen. It's a smaller stadium, but it's really raucous, so super loud. I understand the closed environment. Like, Cameron Indoor Stadium is small. It's not quite that small, but it's smaller. It's raucous, loud. Maybe it's sight lines. I don't really know. I think this is him pushing enough things to try to get out of it. Like, say, we tried to offer it, but, I mean, they got out of the game. Like, they signed a deal with Michigan, and they started weaseling out of it. Like, why sign the deal in the first place?
Yeah, it's not like Gonzaga just got good.
Just say no to Gonzaga in the first place. We won't play anywhere. Man, yeah.
This is another thing I don't understand. This is another thing I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Why you're making a big stink about a deal you just signed. We talked about this with Kyler Murray. You just signed this deal, right? You knew what was in the deal when you signed it. Your agent knew what was in the deal. Arizona knew they put the clause in the deal. And now you have a problem with all of a sudden with a deal you just signed. So you knew that Gonzaga is in Spokane, Washington, right? And they play at a 6,000-seat arena, right? When you brought, okay, well, it's we don't play in 12. I mean, why is that a big deal? What benefit is it to you to play in a 13,000-seat arena in Spokane versus a 6,000-seat arena in Spokane? Make it make sense to me.
I can't, really. The math actually doesn't add up. Maybe he knows the acoustics are quieter at the Spokane arena. I don't know.
He's going to get more tickets?
I think he assumes that there will be more tickets for Kentucky fans. But, I mean, even if you add in, you know, a couple thousand Kentucky fans, are still adding in like 4,000 more of the other. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, if the percentage is the same, like you aren't going to get a larger percentage of tickets, right?
There's
no way Gonzaga would do that.
I assume.
There's no way they would do that. That doesn't make sense for them to sell more. Because they're not going to have any problems filling the seats with Gonzaga fans. It's not like, oh, well, we sold as many as we can, so we're going to give all the leftovers to Kentucky. That's not going to happen. This is another one. You know, people in sometimes in positions of authority just have time to whine, to be in moan, Ira, to be in moan, as they say.
I think that's what it is. It's like an excuse. Yeah, is it basically an excuse to complain about something that all it really does is makes you look like a fool because people are laughing at you.
Yeah, and for what? I mean, why are you going hard in the paint on this? Doesn't make sense. It is 7:24 on a Friday morning here on the Michigan Insider. We got much more to get to. We're going to talk, obviously we're in the midst of camp. Get further into that preview. We're going to talk to Jen Klein in the 8 o'clock hour. Then, of course, John Ubakin, who went, had a series of tweets on Mel Pearson yesterday. And so we'll get into that as well here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA,
the ticket. The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.